Blog Talk Radio.
What were the odds you would even be you? With your uniquely you sneeze and your uniquely you health needs. 1 in 400 trillion, roughly. That's why Walgreens created something new with personalized real-time health alerts, cash rewards on everything, and pickup in as little as 30 minutes. Introducing My Walgreens, a whole new way to wellness.
Product of Ngozi Enterprises via the Beverly Nation. You are listening to Righteous Consciousness, and I am your host, Darlene Lawrence. This is the 496th episode of the Beverly Nation. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to share what's been placed on my heart. I pray that we receive awareness and understanding, and that we go on to do your work as we rebuild a people and ultimately a nation. In the name of your precious son, Jesus. Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. I am so glad to be back on the air. It seems like a long time. I've had some situations that tried to, you know, prevent me, but hey, that's how life goes sometimes. I am here tonight. Tonight, I like to talk about, some of you may be familiar, old movie back, I believe it was in 1997, Of the State. That movie was starring Will Smith. But guess what? There is Enemy of the State starring you. We want to talk about what has been happening with technology. Now, if you recall that movie, that movie was Will Smith, and the role that he played was basically didn't even know why they was chasing him down, but they had him from every single angle. And they tracked everything he did. And that was in the late 90s. I can tell you now, back in the day, in the 60s, we used to always say, Big Brother is watching. That was something that we constantly would say because, hey, we dealt with a lot of issues. We dealt with police brutality, and we dealt with all kinds of CIA interventions with some of the operations, such as with the Black Panther Party and those parties that was considered to not be, quote-unquote, American enough. So we always said, Big Brother is watching. Well, I think that movie very well portrays what we talked about back in the 60s, but without all the technology. Tonight, we are broadcasting from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. Call in is 347-202-0392. We are speaking tonight about Enemy of the State, starring you. Now, that may be a little weird in a way, say starring you, but the truth of the matter, every time you go out your front door, you are in a movie. You're in a movie in your neighborhood. You're in a movie when you go to the supermarket, to the laundromat, to work, to church even. You starring in a film. And the thing about it is, what I can't wrap my head around and which compelled me to do the show tonight is that people are just not getting it. They're not getting the fact that there are cameras placed in various places to catch all kinds of activity. People are just not getting that. And crime is continuing to go on and on and on. And people still are not getting, you are in a movie. you're starring in a film. Everything you do will definitely get caught on film. So, again, we talk about what it was like back in the day when there were just photographs, listening devices, if you will. The technology was not there, but back then there was a perception that whatever you were doing, you certainly are not alone because Big Brother is watching. We are several decades from that time. We had advancement in technology now. That advancement clearly gives us the capability and the autonomy. We have drones now that are flying in and doing various things, delivering packages, even able to take you out if they need to. Please, you need to get on the internet. You need to Google some of this stuff. If you don't or never heard of it, you need to pay attention to what's going on. Because if Big Brother wasn't watching back then because the technology just wasn't as good as it is now, the Big Brother certainly watching right now. He ain't my Big Brother, but Big Brother's watching. You are the enemy of the state. And I say that because this is not a black and white issue, although there is a different standard for certain cultures. But this is everyone that is being caught on film. Even those that don't want to be, or that you would think their supremacy would keep them from being labeled as doing some type of crime, they're being caught just as well. Case in point, there's been a couple of cases I can think of, two in particular, where there was the police stopped the young men and was ordering them in the car, searching them or whatever they were doing, and clearly on camera, the young men had their hands up, visible, to see that, no, I don't have anything. And the police officer was constantly yelling, stop reaching for my gun, stop reaching for my gun. How is he reaching for your gun if his hands is up in the air, clearly visible that it's being caught on your camera, Mr. Officer? Cameras can help, and they can hurt, especially if you're on the wrong side of the law, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. Again, we are talking about Enemy of the State, starring you. You are the lead in this picture, and that's every single person that walk out their front door. We are broadcasting live from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to call in, if you have any thoughts, comments, concerns, the number is 347-202-0392. Now, so as we go on to talk about some of the crimes that have occurred and caught on tape, one to me that was very, very hit, not that it was a physical relationship to this person, but within my own town. A young woman named Kim Jones, who was going to work one morning, and as she stood there waiting for a bus, someone walked up and just blew her brains out and kept on going. This same person, we learned later, was her coworker, a young man, who she had some indication that he had been embezzling some funds from where they worked. And she must have made notice to him that she was going to turn him in. This man sat there and premeditated, even stood outside her house or down on her block, from her block, for a whole hour before she came out. And he thought he had his whole thing wrapped, 46-year-old man. He thought he had his whole thing all wrapped up. He was going to just walk up, blow her brains off, keep on walking. He thought that he would even take the precaution to cover himself where you won't see. And we've had here in Philadelphia, we've had some very, very cold days. This man had his face covered. He had a hood and had his face covered. And he made certain, he thought that he was outsmarting the cameras. He made certain to cover himself very well. While this poor woman stood there at the bus stop with her headphones on, listening to gospel music on her way to do a decent day of work, he just walked up and took her life right away. He even went to her funeral because no one knew what happened to this woman. He went to her funeral service and said to her son, "Don't worry, they're going to find who did this to your mother." That's a cold-blooded person that would do such a thing like that. But what he did not know is, and he thought he had it all planned out. He thought that he covered his face, that would cover his identity. They took the surveillance cameras right in the area in which this man, this murder took place, is the Temple University campus. And they used surveillance cameras that the campus used. They saw him. They caught the whole thing on tape. No, they could not identify from that vantage point. But they saw him after he completed that murder. He walked calmly up to the subway. The cameras picked him up all the way there. He got on the subway, and then the transportation, SEPTA, their cameras caught him on the train. Their cameras caught him getting off of the train. They could not still make an identification of who this man was because he was ever so clever to keep his face covered still. He got off of that train in a particular area in Philadelphia where he crossed the street and he walked up to another street and they still could not see his face. He got into his vehicle, but when he pulled out of his vehicle, the cameras from the police caught his tags, and that's how they were able to catch this man. This person who told the woman's son, "Don't worry, they're going to catch who did this to your mother." Now, if he was a really smart person, his life wouldn't be at Bruins as it is right now. If she had the opportunity to turn him in for whatever embezzling that he was doing, the truth of the matter is he wouldn't be doing possibly a death penalty. Or in this state, that's up for questioning now with the new governor that we have, but definitely life without parole. Okay, at best, he probably would have faced some fines, a couple of years in jail, because my understanding was like $40,000 he was supposed to embezzle. But he would have his life back that he could have rebuilt and made it good for someone else. Yet, he thought he was smart. He was in a movie starring him. And when they couldn't see him, they still found him because the cameras picked up his license plate and led him right to him. Why is it that we know these cameras are out here? We see in the news all the time what is going on the streets because some camera has picked it up, some camera is showing and revealing a situation, and we look for that. I remember somebody hit my car in the supermarket parking lot, and I did go in and talk to the manager to see if they had a camera, okay? I'm even thinking about getting a camera in front of my own house to see what kind of activity is going on because I think that is something that is necessary because of the high rate of crime. The problem is it is a deterrent for crime, but when is people going to understand you're starring in a film? They don't get it. And that right there is damaging testimony to show you up close and personal conducting yourself and doing whatever it is that you're doing. Again, we are broadcasting from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to call in is 347-202-0392. So we go to the see the extent of even just the cameras. But there's other factors we have to understand and take, you know, if, you know, truthfully speaking here, let's just get real, okay? We don't want to live in a situation like everybody is watching. But the truth of the matter, everybody is watching. That's just truth. We don't want to live that way, but we are in a time where it is a capability. And then we have laws such as the Patriot Act. Those laws were put in place in 2001 during the 9/11 attack. There has been some revisions to the Patriot Act, okay, where they can listen in. They can, they meaning the government, can listen in to your conversation. Okay, they know what you're doing on your computers. Okay, it's no sense in saying, oh, it's not happening, or oh no, that's just on the movies. No, you know what? That movie was enemy of the state, but we are now in 2015, and we have seen how it go, and we see what is happening. So definitely, you're not exempt. No one is exempt. They are listening. There is even capability that was just revealed not long ago that the CIA can even listen to your cell phone conversations and the microphone in which you talk to your cell phone can still be activated as a bugging device. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying to you, Google it. Look it up if you didn't hear it in the news. But that's something that is actually happening, and it is happening. They're gaining information. They're gaining information. A lot of people, they saw the, as they call them, the Obama phones that they were giving out free. You get so many minutes per month, and, you know, you get the phone and everything free. It's the government phone. Do you think the government is just giving you something free for the fun of it? Something that has such technology just for the fun of it? Well, I'm telling you something. They say ain't no fool like an old fool. This old fool right here ain't going for nothing like that. Because the bottom line is it is a tracking device. Your cell phone is a tracking device. If you recall not too long ago, it was in the news that a man had went camping with his son. And he had fallen down and gotten hurt in some canyon or valley or somewhere where I probably never would go. But nonetheless, the son had his cell phone, made a phone call. The phone died. Somebody got on social media, the 911 operator, got on social media and was able to pull up the name because of the cell phone and the whole bit, pulled the name of the person on Facebook to find out anything they could, and they learned the trail that the person was going to camp or hike on, and that's how they were able to rescue. Technology today is nothing like back in the 60s when we were talking back then the Big Brother is watching. Technology today is so sophisticated. It is a tracking device. It's a listening device. Is your life free and simple, all your own? Not at all. Not at all. Once again, I like to remind you that we are broadcasting out of Roseland, Pennsylvania. The number to call in is 347-202-0392. To listen, comment, speak on this issue, whatever you may have to say. Maybe even you have your own situation. So there's a couple of situations that they've shown in the news recently, and it was kind of comical in a way and mysterious all at the same time, kind of, you know, mind-boggling how this woman did this. But Costa Rica, lady stole a television under her skirt, caught on camera. Okay, how she did that? I'm a woman, and I don't know how that happened. But she some way or another took a television, put it under her skirt, between her legs, and walked right on out. But it was all caught on film. Now, whatever happened to her, I don't know all the ins and outs of that. The bottom line is, those folks that are looking to do, as it used to say back in the day, boosting, okay, it's not as simple and it's not as easy. Cameras, baby, you are in a movie, and you are the star. And that's the mindset that people need to begin to have, because that is exactly what's happening. You know, people that are in these, you know, just like I said, as you're going out tending to your regular daily, whatever it is, you are being taped. You are being recorded. You are being listened to. You know, as I said earlier, the CIA can take your cell phone and turn it into a listening device, or have it turned into a listening device, as you are doing whatever you think the phone is off, but they listening. If it is something, as I can recall, when they first put in place and they talked about certain chatter, if they hear certain words constantly, it gives them a red light, and they kind of zero in and begin to focus in and listen. Like, they're probably listening to me right now talking about how they're listening to us. But guess what? You all need to know that, because some folks need to wake up, especially those folks that continue to want to commit the crimes, the ridiculous, stupid, ridiculous crimes, okay? All crime is ridiculous, but those crimes that, hey, why would you do that? You're on film. We see constantly situations where there's robberies in stores. The store owner come out with the gun, you know, bang banging, or, you know, unfortunately, somebody is going to get hurt. That's just the reality of it all. What I would really like is for people to realize that those cameras should be a deterrent, because once you are caught up in their foolishness, well, you know the rest. Once you're caught up doing something ridiculous like that, you're going down. And as we talk about often, if you are a certain ethnicity, the crime, the penalty is even stiffer for you. You are stripped of your rights of being a free person. You have no rights. You are a property of the state. You become imprisoned, a.k.a. enslaved. So before, if I'm talking to somebody out there young that don't understand what is out there, please listen up and understand this. You, every time you go outside that door, every time you think that you can now slick somebody else, this, you never know. And if it is not that there is cameras fixed from the government, you got people snapping from their phones, people recording incidents. There was a situation a month or so ago, a young lady student, high school student, on a step the bus here in Philadelphia, and her book bag actually happened to bang into this man. And the man became very irate with this young girl, and he began to punch her, and she tried to defend it the best she could, but he began to hit her all in her face, and it was just horrible. It was horrible. Someone snapped that whole footage on their smartphone. And as a result, it ended up on the news. And clearly you could see who this person was. You saw the altercation. You saw what he did to the young lady. And he did eventually, because he probably was afraid losing his job or whatever. Of course, when he found out that they saw it, he figured that it would be probably a little bit easier for him. But he did end up turning himself in. He turned himself, I guess, because he figured that would make it a little bit easier on him. But if he wasn't so ridiculously foolish, because this man, I don't know, he might have been in his 30s or 40s. I would probably say closer to 40. Hitting on this young girl on a crowded bus? On a crowded bus, you want to get bumped. Okay? You can't understand that, but the thing about it, you want to beat on this young girl. I don't see what she could have said or done to you for you to have beat on her and punched her in the face and all the stuff you did to her. A school bag banging in you? What kind of loose or short fuse do you have? What needs to be done with you? I mean, you know, people, they're really, you know, you just can never tell. So that, the camera protects you in that respect. But where it protects others and not you is when you the criminal, when you are doing stuff out there or just foolish, ridiculous things. I happen to see, in my preparation for this show, I happen to see footage today where a guy took an object, I don't know if it was a brick or what, to break into a car. He hit the car, it bounced off the car, he knocked his own self out, laid out on the ground. The news person that was delivering this story, she said, I call this karma. I loved it. I love what she said because that was karma. The thing about it, foolish person, whoever you are, you don't understand. You get ready to break in the car. People have cameras on their houses now. There's cameras in parking lots. There's cameras to catch you if you run a red light that also catch other things. There's cameras all over the place. You got your corner store, there's cameras. Then you got young folks walking up down the street with a smartphone looking for something to take a picture of, loving the moment to say, oh, and go on and take the film. So, again, how wise, how smart is it smart to think that you can do all this stuff? Now, I mean, everybody loves that show that comes on, How to Get Away with Murder. The truth of the matter is, are you really going to get away with anything? I don't think so, because it always comes back. Again, we are broadcasting out of Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to call in is 347-202-0392. So as we talk about surveillance and what is happening and why it's happening and it's being used for our advantage in many ways. Now we're talking about police officers wearing camera badges or cameras on their person so that they can film what's going on. That would be a good thing, I do believe, because let's be for real here. We've seen some lies out of our men in blue that's supposed to protect and serve. We have seen where certain ethnicities do not matter. We have seen where they have done a lot of things, and still they're into that that brotherhood little clique thing that they're supposed to be so tight and, you know, do whatever it is that they do and whatever it is that they do. And I'm saying all that, and I'm saying a little evasive about it because they're very evasive about it. The truth of the matter is, they use the law for their own gain in many cases so that they can go out and do what it is that they do and harass people. And they do harass people. I will say, I read an article, the Kalamazoo Police Department, the chief of police there, had a study done. Because the community, it was such, you know, backlash and bad talk about the police there, and there's some things that had occurred. So that particular police department decided to do a survey, and they had this survey done for to see what type of racism that may be occurring within the department. And it came back, boy, the chief did not want to believe what the results in the statistics were, but it was so many, it was like, wow, so over the top, the amount of traffic stops that occurred with a certain ethnicity than another. And that caused them to have to really take a look. And basically, yeah, they you know, profile. And some things you do have to profile. Don't get me wrong. You do have to profile. But profile those serial killers. Every person, every young man wearing a hoodie is not a criminal, okay? Every young man wearing, you know, and I don't like the baggy pants and all that stuff. You've heard me talk about this before, the pants with the butt hanging out and all that kind of stuff. No, I don't like that. I think you need to stand up and pull them pants up and straighten your back up and have some decency and respect for yourself, number one. Every man is not into that. Sometimes they think that it is just a fad. Yet, it is a way of people being profiled to look like, oh, you're this particular way or that particular way. And you're targeted. In fact, in this particular police department at Kalamazoo, when they talk to the people in the community, young black men, they felt like the police was not there to protect and serve them. Their opinion of the police was that they only harassed them, and that's what they're there for, to harass them. Now, after the police chief received the information in that survey, and he had to face some reality to it, his decision was to do some diversity training and to have somebody to come in, and what can we do to better appeal to the community? I don't want anybody to think that my show tonight is just about race, because it is not, because the cameras is on everyone, everyone. But I am just talking about a couple of different situations where the police have, you know, I've even seen African-American police officers behave like they should not have. In a very abusive way. So I don't want anybody listening to this show tonight to think that this is just about, you know, race, because it's not. I do want to say that, excuse me, I do want to say that we have to understand that this whole idea of police brutality that has come about, it has gotten even worse and worse. But the thing that we do have is cameras. Now, I understand that I do have a caller on line two, my sister, Latasha. Are you there on line two?
Yeah, yes. Hey, Ms. Darlene. I was calling in tonight to show my love and support and say what an excellent topic you shared tonight and an excellent transcript. You brought up something that was very powerful to me. You said that we are all a part of a movie. And with that,
yeah,
you know, that was powerful to me, and it also made me want to add on that also with us being in a movie, we must decide what role we want to play, what character. We must choose whether we want to be a good character or a bad character, and you know how we want the world to view us or how do we view ourselves inside that world. And I just want to say thank you for sharing. I just want to say thank you for sharing the message. It was very important to know about our environment, how things are set up. I learned a lot from listening in on your show, Righteous Consciousness. I learned so much every time I listen. And I just want to encourage you to continue to be informal, continue to be conscious, because the world needs more people like you. I am so happy to be a part of what you have shared with BevNet. You have inspired me to continue speaking. Thank you for your contribution to BevNet and Block Talk Radio. You're doing an excellent job. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, my sister, let me tell you something. My little sister right here, Latasha, this little girl, and don't take me wrong by saying that, honey. Okay,
you are
100% woman, but you are on fire, and I love what you do. Okay, I love God in your heart and how you want to share with people. And anybody can pick my sister up. Latasha, you still online?
Yes, I am.
Okay, they can pick up Concerned Voices on her show. March 9th.
My next show is March 9th at 9:30.
9:30. And please check my sister out because she has some really, really good information to share. I thank you so much for your support. And just listening to you, I am so proud. I am so proud of you, my sister. So you continue to
do
what you're doing. We support each other. We are the BevNet family, and we support each other. So, again, I thank you for calling in and supporting this show. And, you know, anything, I learn from you too, my sister. Okay. So I'm going to get back to what we're talking about tonight. As we're talking about, I was speaking of the Kalamazoo Police Department, what that particular chief of police did, and he tried to tear down the barriers with the community. And once he took those police officers to some sensitivity training and some diversity training and whatever it is that he had to take them or get them through whatever program that was set up through the I believe it was the University of Michigan, I believe it was, if I'm not, you know, saying it incorrectly, I believe that's what it was. But he went on and he followed what he needed to do, and as a result, they know that they're still decades away. It's not going to be a harmonious, and especially when it comes down to our young African-American or brown men, it's not going to come down to overnight. It's going to be decades, maybe. It's going to be a while because that trust has been destroyed. But I do really give my hats off to that particular police chief who sees that he has to take a stand to move things in a different direction. Getting back, just as my sister Latasha said tonight, it's what role you want to play. Now, when she said that, I'm going to tell you what really stood out to me. Some years ago, when my son was in high school, there was a rash of bus stop robberies that occurred. My son was on his way to school. He and another young man got robbed at gunpoint. Now, the cameras were not up and established like they are now, okay? Cameras was, you know, people had them in their stores and things like that, but as far as being up in the neighborhoods, on the streets, catching cars, running lights, it wasn't up like that. But what happened when this whole thing came around full circle and they found the culprits, which they did, and I recall going to court. And the weird part about it, my son's friend's father happened to be a judge, and they both were standing there waiting for that bus that morning. And I remember at the sentencing, because one of the three people that were caught in this pled guilty, and at the sentencing, I remember the mom, of course, you're going to try and do what you can to save your child, the mother saying that, you know, she worked hard and didn't have anyone to really, really help mentor him. His father wasn't in his life, and you know, all these different things occurred, and he was just a victim to that. And it's about choice, and this is why I'm getting back to my sister, what she said about what role you want to play. And after they said that, I just had to get up there and say a few words because that was my whole thing. It was about choice. Everybody had a choice of what they wanted to do that morning. My son and the other young man, their choice was to get up and get an education. The other folks, it was their choice to go out, carjack somebody, and rob some folks and hurt some people, okay? And it was all about choice at the end of the day. So you have a choice. Do you want to be the villain in the movie, or do you want to be the person that is helping or just doing the right thing and minding your business and you know, doing what you need to do for you? It is about a choice. What role do you want to play? Because one thing's for certain, two things for sure. You're in a movie. You're starring. Smile. You're on candid camera, and the camera's not even candid anymore in most cases. They're right there. You can see most of the camera. Some of those cameras are so high-powered. It was really my hope to have someone that to speak to the security. And I think that we probably will have a second show on this matter with the person that was supposed to, you know, come on this evening and talk about the surveillance aspect of it. The truth of the matter is you are definitely starring in the picture. And those pictures, when you first see them on TV, you know, it looks kind of fuzzy. It looks kind of like, you know, you can't really see too much. But they have specialists to make enhancements, those enhancements to really fine-tune in certain angles and take some of the shadowing out and do some computer graphics of the image to clarify and make that picture look clearer and clearer. Now, I see that I have another caller on line three, my sister, my sister.
Hey, how you doing, darling? My sister, my sister.
I am so good, my sister. I'm so glad to be back on after everything going on, but I am just so glad and so glad to hear your voice as usual.
Well, you know, it's always great to hear you come on, and I look forward to, you know, coming on for you and everybody else. But with you, I can say individually, you always have a subject matter that always have me hanging on by the edge of my seat until you go off. Because I said, I know she's going to say something, and something that I feel enlightened by. But, you know, it's a good, very good topic that you're covering, because a lot of people don't realize that when they're making advances to go towards their corner store, or they may step out their door, there's a camera most likely that's going to pick them up within about a block or two. And, you know, they have their little private moments in the public, but they don't realize how unprivate it is once you get out there. So if you're doing anything, blowing your nose wrong, you believe me, it's on camera, most likely. But now I want to ask you, darling, considering, if I'm not mistaken, the president has signed a bill just recently making sure that the use of drones would not be able to invade the privacy of people in the public, but may be used in the public sector of government if necessary. What do you, you know, I think that was a great thing because, you know, the average citizen don't need to be followed around by drones in order to be, in order to have their privacy invaded. I mean, we're not in this country in order to make sure that everybody feels though that our business is theirs. We don't go peeking in their bedroom or their bathroom. And, of course, you know, even in the public to a certain point, you don't want to be in your backyard trying to sunbathe and then have those things hovering over you trying to examine every little follicle of hair on your head or your body.
All right, now.
Okay. And so I was hoping to ask you, since you're on the subject of picture taking and all that's going on out there and the surveillance cameras hanging up on the poles on the streets, not only on the main streets but in the city itself, which is sometimes a very good thing for the sake of safety in the public.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, unfortunately some people do feel a little, private, and they think that may be a little much. But what is your take on the drone situation, if you don't mind my asking?
Not at all, not at all. And I'm still doing more research on that area, but just off the top, it can be necessary as long as it is not used against, you know, the regular common person, unless, and this is what the FBI, some of the research that I have done, you know, the CIA and FBI, they hear certain chatter, and if there is certain words or certain codes and patterns that people talk in, they pick up on that. And that could be very, you know, that's something when they know that you're there. We have all these different cells that are hidden, that are here in this country, okay? And they're trying to find a way that they can do something big to do whatever it is they're doing, okay? They look for that kind of anything that leads to something that's going to create a problem, some type of an attack or whatever. So, therefore, it may be necessary to have these drones as long as it is not used. The part that scares me, and we don't have but one more year of President Obama, this year and next year, okay? Next year, 2016, we'll be electing a new president. It depends on who gets in there. But I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth, the way I feel about it. If it is a Republican president, yeah, I'm going to be scared the heck is what they're going to do with those drones. And that's how I feel about it, because it can be something, because I know that there is an agenda against the common man. Okay, that person that is getting in the way of, or more of the have-nots than have. So, I do have my own personal opinions that I kind of feel like, you know, the issue about the drones, in one hand, it could be necessary. On the other hand, it depends on who administratively is in power, okay, and whatever the plan may be. I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I have to say, still on my whole kick about what's really happening about the people. So I know that it is not something that is going on that they really, really want to happen. But hopefully things will become clearer about that, what they're planning on doing. It's just, it is a little scary. It's this new technology. You don't know.
You know what? That's a very good conclusion. You know what I really am concerned about? I don't hold anything against a human being because they chose to be Republican versus Democrat versus anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what I do show a concern for is some of the people that are so adamantly against, other politicians for whatever reason, instead mm-hmm. of hearing out what's good for the people as a whole, they concentrate on other politicians so much. It's like, I may be incorrect to say this, but it appears that it's a personal hatred instead of concentrating mm-hmm. on dealing with who the people that they're supposed to be serving, because government is actually a representation of the people as a whole, the whole entire population across the nation. So they really, if they get up off of some of that hatred, certain individuals, maybe they can see what they can accomplish for this earth, for making sure that we preserve what's good for the people across the board,
mm-hmm.
so we can all advance as a society and as earthborn people, period.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I get the impression, you know, they don't see the whole picture like they should. So I don't expect any harmony, even if the president does go on to his next life and they bring another person in, because the harmony has been so daggone discombobulated by just people always prodding at people versus helping the society as a whole. I just hope I'm incorrect, because I would like to see some people come to some sensibility so that our earth can continue to thrive and not necessarily be led into something that we can't get ourselves out of. So thank you very much for telling me about that, Darlene.
Yes, definitely. That's my sister Antonia Betts of Peripheral Vision. And Tony, when will you be back on again?
Yes, I will. I will be not on tomorrow, because that's when Latasha will be on, but I'm on the alternating Tuesdays. So the following week, and if I'm not mistaken, it's March the 11th when I'll be on, same time Latasha will be on at 9:30. And
yep, and I'm sorry to cut Tony off right there. But Latasha, it's Lovely Ellis. Excuse me, tomorrow night, 9:30, Sister Tony. It is Diva Impact, and this Tony. Okay, hey, Tony, talk about that. But yeah, it's Lovely Ellis tomorrow night with Diva Impact. Latasha's on next Monday at 9:30. All right, so we'll get that straight. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. I apologize.
But, you know, I don't want people to think they had the wrong night, so I thank you. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, you have to excuse me. I have a very bad cold coming in from a...
Oh, wow. You know, we're having some technical difficulties. Yeah. But you know what? No, thank you, Tony. Yeah. And like I said, Tony said she has a very bad cold, and we want to make sure that, you know, Tony's okay. And I'm glad that Tony, you know, is on next week. So that way she can rehabilitate herself and get herself ready to do the work that we do on BevNet. So thank you, Tony, so much. Darlene, do you have an announcement to make?
Yes, I do. And I just want to say right now, I'd just like to thank everyone. We have a new BevNet record of 133,987 connections. And I just want to thank everyone who has called in, who has chimed in, who is listening in. I just want to thank every single one of you out there that is listening to the show tonight. Without you, there would be no righteous consciousness. So I do thank you so much for your support, and I hope to continue to bring the issues to you that definitely is so important.
Well, you know, I brought two people back on to help celebrate this BevNet record, Latasha and Antonia. Anything you want to say to Darlene about breaking the new BevNet record tonight?
I'm not surprised. I think she did, as usual, a smash-up job in order to, you know, share some of the greatest information that we all can understand, and we understand why we experience things out in life. And I always can say, Darlene is one person. She will not let you down. Thank you, and congratulations, Darlene.
Thank you, my sister.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much.
Sister Latasha? Tosh, you there? Should I not be there right now? Should I be on mute? Now on the situation. Tosh, one more time. You there? Okay, we'll try to bring it back on a little later on. That's fine. But listen, Darlene, I'm so glad to be able to talk about tonight. Of course, tonight. Let me let Darlene introduce me, because I love being introduced. Darlene?
Well, I am talking to none other than my illustrious producer, Mr. Ngozi. Or as we also affectionately call, Brother O.
Listen, I want to thank all the people tonight that join us. Our chaplain, Colleen Daly, is on the line tonight. Thank you for calling. I want to thank also the archivist, Ricky R. Jones, for calling. 215-724, we will put you on right after my time. So stay put and keep pressing one, and we're going to get you on with Darlene tonight. Also, Tawana Leonard, host of Abstract, is on the line tonight with us tonight. And Tawana, if you want to press one, you can, to talk to Darlene about anything about The Enemy of the State starring us. Of course, you know, I don't believe in people colorism when it comes down to, you know, describing people. But you know where I'm going right there, Darlene. European-American, African-American, Asian-American. You like that? You like that with Arab-American?
Yes, yes.
We are all in the same boat. Indian Americans, we're all in the same boat. Okay, there ain't no white and black folks. African American, European American. How about that? That's where you came from. Indigenous people are the Native Americans. We all are being watched. Watch and learn, Darlene is trying to tell you. Anything that you do out there in those streets, you are in serious trouble. Because not only did they followed that dude every single stop that he got into his car, and they amplified the license plate to catch his dumb behind and put him behind bars as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's almost like being a patriot these days causes you to go to jail. Being free and being able to speak out. You know, also, Ricky R. Jones, archivist, say congratulations to my sister. Thank you, archivist. And like I said.
Thank you, my sister.
Yes, indeed. I'm proud of this archive tonight because this is very, very important to me. Also, there's a lot of things going on in our community that people see all the time, Darlene, and no one wants to make known the crime rate. know, it's skyrocketing through almost every metropolitan residence in America. We're looking at people who are trying to do the right thing. There are more people in the poorest of neighborhoods that are trying to do the right thing than there are gang-banging backs that are trying to do the wrong thing, okay? Terrorizing people who have worked all their life to build something. And now we have people that want to just disintegrate the family structure. Well, of course, that comes from, you know, I gotta say, like old folks say, something is wrong. I can feel it. I just can't see it. Mm-hmm. It's all around. It's in the atmosphere.
Yeah,
it's in the atmosphere. And I know it makes me encouraged to come on to a program as I travel to Milwaukee, Wisconsin next month. Right now, the third largest murder capital in the nation. I said Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right after Chicago and Detroit. Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The home of the beer. You know what I mean? You know, home of Laverne and Shirley back in the day. Like, you were like Milwaukee, uh-huh. Walk down Tresvant Avenue this time of night. You'll find out. If it's Southwest Milwaukee, your head will be split if you don't know nobody in that neighborhood. How about that one, darling? In Milwaukee.
How about it?
So we got work to do. We got work. We got serious work to do. Like I said, I'm proud of this subject because, you know, be watchful. How about this? Watch yourself. If you watch yourself, you ain't got to worry about nobody watching you. Watch yourself like Mystical said. Show me what you're working with. And on that note, Beverly Nation is advertised.
Well, first of all, we're so proud tonight to bring on a beautiful person that was part of our illustrious history. The 2018 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, Miss Darlene Lawrence. You know, we miss her. She passed away on February 14th, 2019. And that year, we dealt with a whole lot of issues, you know, with people leaving us. Just a month later, Anna Wardell left us on March 14th of the same year. Darlene was a person that believed in justice and the right way of doing things. And for us to honor her tonight is wonderful. You know, the growth of our network, you know, we were only in the hundreds of thousands at that time. And now, you know, God has blessed us to be beyond that. Just like Antonia Batts, who has been with us for almost 9 years, it's beautiful to see the things that have been accomplished by folks that put down the gauntlet of excellence and a commitment to it. And all the people that listen tonight, especially our hosts now, this is our legacy. This is what we have put forth in our wonderful, wonderful rendition of broadcasting. Thank you, Darlene. May you sleep in peace. Governor Nation's advertised to ONI, which is Olodelli and Ngozi Enterprise, reaches, of course, at www.lookinglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime, one at doznet.com. We're Ngozi Time, both for Twitter and Instagram, Olodelli and Ngozi at Pinterest, Google+, Olodelli and Malay Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, BevNet Classics, as well as the historic Governor Nation on our radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, oledelay.ngozi@gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Olodelli Malay Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. It's funny because I get choked up just listening to Darlene. You know, GovNet Classics are so important because it goes back to our history. All the folks now that listen to us all around the world, translated in 47 countries, broadcasting in 59 countries. People like Darlene Lawrence is the reason why we're on the air. Good night.